Hey, we're starting a new series today called Parables. Jesus taught a lot in parables. We don't always use the word parable today, but we talk about what this idea is all the time. Parables are simply stories. Jesus was a storyteller. Some people say he's the best. Charles Dickens said he was the best storyteller of all time, and Chuck Dickens knew his stories. And so if we think about Jesus as a storyteller, there's something you need to know. He told a lot of parables. And I think he did that. It's because we're wired to connect with the power of story. And when you hear a well-told story, we tend to lean in. We tend to connect. That's why, I don't know if you've noticed this, but back, you know, years ago, when there would be sitcoms on TV, it was just a situational comedy. They put the people in a comedic situation and we laughed. And the next week it was a different situation and we laughed. But over time, people started weaving in kind of narratives into sitcoms. We see a great example of this. Recently there was the TV show Friends. Anyone ever watched that show? They had their reunion. Anybody watch that? I did not. I'm in a committed relationship with the National Hockey League playoffs right now, and I have not seen it, but a lot of people did. And it's not because, oh, it was just such a funny show. They connected with the characters. They told these stories that were comedic, but you cared about the relationships and their successes and their lives and what was going on. And there's something about that sitcoms figured out is that we connect with stories. It's why we love movies. It's why many of us love reading novels. There's something about the power of story that connects with us. And Jesus leveraged the power of story using these things called parables. Go back, please. To tell stories that would help us understand who he is, what the kingdom of God is like, what others are like. He leveraged these parables. Now, about a third of Jesus's teachings were parables, stories. So that means two-thirds weren't, but that's a big chunk of it. The other two-thirds were instructions or commands where he would teach, or the other way Jesus taught was he asked a lot of questions. He wanted people to think, not just hear. And so when Jesus told parables, and there's a great example in the one we're going to look at today, he told a story and he said, I want you to listen. I want you to think about what I'm saying. And usually a parable is a story designed to make one point. If you build a whole belief system out of one parable, it could get you in trouble. He wasn't trying to teach you everything about God, but maybe one thing about God, or one thing about you, or one thing about the kingdom of God. And so look at an example today. This is one of Jesus' more famous parables, probably not the most famous. The prodigal son is probably his most famous. But in Mark chapter 4, as well as in Matthew and in Luke, he told the story about the seed and the sower. It was the one about the guy who was a farmer, but as I read it and was preparing for this, I thought, the farmer in this isn't very strategic. Like, I don't know if I would really, I don't know if I'd go to him and say, you're doing it wrong. I think I might say, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. But here's the story Jesus told. Again, he's trying to tell one point. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he had to get into a boat. Never forget that Jesus drew a crowd. And he gets in the boat because that was actually like the old school PA system. He didn't have a lapel mic. He had water and he would get on a boat. It would get him away from the crowd, allowed more people to squeeze in. But actually speaking across water is a great amplifier. And Jesus knew that. He's a good AV guy. So he got in the boat, sat out on the lake while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, and here's one of those parables, Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen. The very first thing he says before he starts the story is, listen. Well, they're already listening. They're up on the water's edge. They're not just there looking, gawking at them. They're listening. But he says, listen. You know why he says this? Because we have a tendency to hear but not listen. Or maybe it's listen, not hear. I'm not sure which is the right word. But we have a tendency to kind of, it's going in, but it's going out. It's not connecting. So he says, listen. There's something important here. A farmer went out to sow his seed. We talked about the power of farming in James a couple weeks ago. I told you I don't know much about farming, so I'm going to do my best to give an agricultural parable that's due. I only knew one farmer in life, old McDonald, and I didn't learn a lot from him except what the sounds made. But Jesus is going to teach us something about farming. And if you don't understand this about farming, your spiritual growth will struggle. Jesus is going to teach us something using a farmer picture of how we grow. If you want this to be a summer of spiritual growth in your life, here's how Jesus says to do that. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, Verse 6. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. Again, they're already listening. And everyone has ears. Like, I'm pretty sure like that was the thing. What is he saying here? Why does he say at the beginning, listen, and at the end, if you have ears, make sure you hear? Because it's possible to listen and not hear what he's saying. And after this, the disciples said, you're teaching in a story, but you're not telling us what the story means. And he goes into a long thing about that, explaining it to them. But then he actually pulls them aside and he explains to them what he's talking about. But don't miss the fact that twice, at the very beginning and the end, Jesus says, would you please listen to this? Would you hear what I'm saying to you? And so maybe right now would be a good time, just silently in your head, just to pause and say, God, I want to hear what you're saying to me today. Help me to understand. Help me to hear what you want me to hear. Well, in verse 14, Jesus kind of starts explaining to his disciples, a smaller group. He goes, the farmer sows the word. The seed that's being thrown out is the word. It's God's truth. So if you think about it from the point of view of the farmer, Jesus is the farmer. God's the farmer. He's spreading truth like seed. And it's God's truth. As a matter of fact, Jesus actually said in John 14:6 that he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So he's planting God's truth. He's planting himself in the lives of others. But this is how he wants to grow us. He gives us four lessons from the soil. Verse 15. Some people, and the thing I want you to think about is, where are you kind of right now in life? Which one are you most like? Because he gives us four different types of soil, which is really four different types of people. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. So the farmer's going along and he's spreading seed out. He's not planting seed. He's not digging rows and planting it very strategically. He's just tossing it out all kinds of places. Again, strategy is a big deal for me. As a farmer, I'm like, it feels like you're wasting a lot of seed. Let's work on your budget a little bit. Let's save some money on this seed you're throwing in the bad places and let's focus on the good place. But for whatever reason, the seed is scattered everywhere. Along the path where people are walking, and if you walk on stuff, it gets knocked down or smashed down. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes, takes away the word that was sown in them. So God's truth falls on the life of someone's, hearts of someone's life, and it just sits there. And then he draws attention to the fact that there is a spiritual battle in your life. You really have a spiritual enemy who wants to distract you, who wants to turn you away from what God is trying to teach you. There is a really spiritual battle that if you don't pay attention to this, it could cost you an opportunity to grow. And this first soil type is really God's work in our life depends on our openness. Am I going to be open to let God's truth sink down deep in me? Or is it just going to sit on the surface and then the next best thing that comes along gets my attention and I go that direction? That's what it depends on. Hebrews 3 verses 12 and 13 say, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Instead, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. Do this every day so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Our hearts grow hard from a lot of things in life. Life has been difficult. We've had some tough seasons. Rejection, brokenness, maybe failure, becoming cynical at the people around us or the world. We become cynical, our hearts become hard, and God's seed doesn't take root. So Jesus says, beware of a hardened heart. Beware of that. And be aware that there's a spiritual battle. Then he talks about a second soil type in verse 16. Others like seed sown on the rocky places. So this is a place where there's a lot of rocks. Again, like if I'm the farmer, I'm like, I got a budget for seeds. I probably could save some money by not throwing it in these places, but that's not the point of the parable. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word that's happening right now, if you're still awake, and at once they receive it with joy. They're like, hey, this is great. from the looks on your faces, that's a few of you, you're receiving it with joy. But since they have not no root, so there's the key, it's taking root, it lasts only a short time. It's very similar to the first soil. But here's what comes along that's different. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. He's talking about the person who says, I'm following Jesus and I'm taking his truth into my life. But the minute that bumps against a friend, a relationship, someone who's opposed to my beliefs, I hear that and I bump into that persecution or trouble that's because of my faith, it cost me something. And I'm like, I'll just blend in with the other weeds. I'll just back off. That's what he's talking about. So here's the second soil type. God's work in our life has to be a personal commitment. That's what was lacking here. I am committed more to my comfort than God's leadership. What are you committed to? What is it that if you bump against something that's because of your belief would drive you to keep going and following Jesus no matter what? That's the second soil type. It's this idea that at some point your faith may cost you. And are you willing to keep following? But it's a personal commitment. Jesus told a parable twice, once in Luke and once in Matthew, about everyone's building their life on something. What are you building your life on? And he says, basically, the person who hears God's truth and puts it into practice is the person who builds their life on God, on Jesus, on his word. And that person, when a storm comes, the house keeps standing. But others will build their life on something else. They'll hear God's word, they'll hear God's truth, but they will not put it into practice. They're building their life on themselves. And we cannot stand in a storm. Eventually, you're gonna find something in life that knocks you down. Eventually in life, you're gonna find something that gives you a choice. Do I follow Jesus faithfully or do I follow my heart? Do I follow the crowd? The second type is God's work in our life. It has to be a personal commitment. How's your personal commitment to Jesus these days? Then he says this in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. So again, everyone's hearing it. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in. And it chokes the word, making it unfruitful. See, it's possible to wake up every morning, read the Bible. Man, I read these verses and it's awesome. But then throughout the day, something gets in the way and it chokes out God's truth. Worries, man, that's a big one for me. I struggle with anxiety. I worry about things. Or the deceitfulness of wealth, I want things. And then he just does the all-encompassing, the desire for other things. Anytime there's your desire for something other than Jesus is greater, it's a problem. He says it will choke the word. The truth will be unfruitful in your life. That's why Jesus said, and we'll talk about more about this next week in a parable he tells, but to seek first God's kingdom, to don't let worry or other things come in and distract you. What are the other things right now in your life that are doing this? Because here's the, when you get it right, it's this type of soil. It's your first priority. God's work in our life has to be our first priority. That's not what's happening here. It might've been a priority, but it wasn't first priority. Where are your priorities these days? Is it to seeking God's truth, applying it to your life, and that there aren't any other things that compete for that? There are a lot of things that can. And Jesus said, it chokes the truth. It makes it unfruitful. And then finally, he gives this fourth soil type in verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, so they hear it, accept it, so they say, yeah, I believe it, it's part of my life, and then it produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Apparently, I guess the industry standard of the time was 10 times was a really good crop. He was saying some 30, 60, even 100 times. He says, God can do more than you ask or imagine when he works in your life. And really this fourth soil type is someone who makes a series of ongoing choices to let God work in my life, to work the soil, to be open, to be available to him. Isaiah 55 is a verse that, like, for me, I mean, for a living, I try to present God's truth in a way that hopefully will help you connect with it personally and engage with it practically and live it out relationally in your world. Like, that's a goal for me. But one of the things I know is that I'm better off focusing on what God has to say than what I have to say. And Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 is a big promise for me. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields the sower and bread for the eater. God tells us, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God is going to send his truth into your life. But what you do with it matters. How you prioritize it, how you choose to engage with it, it matters. That's why we were talking about James. James told us this promise that whoever looks intently into God's truth that gives freedom and continues in it, they live it out, this ongoing series of choices, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. They'll be blessed in what they do. God's desire is to bless you by leading you through his truth. I thought about this one verse, Joshua 1:8. Some of you know this verse. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate, think on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Some of you may know that. I bet more of you know this one, though. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. A lot of times we think about this verse and we remember this and we want to count on this promise, but note this, like it follows right after this. Keep the book of the law always on your lips, always on your mind, so you can be careful to do everything it says. This is where spiritual growth starts, as God is trying to do something and grow something in your life that's bigger than you could ask or imagine. When I read this through, I kind of came up with this bottom line statement. You might come up with a different one, but the only one responsible for my spiritual growth is me. I can't ask somebody else to own that for me. The only one responsible for my spiritual growth is me. But at the same time, the only one makes it possible is God. I can't just motivate myself to producing life change. God has to do that. But what I can do is acknowledge that all growth comes from him, but I can work the soil and arrange my life so he can work in my life to change my life. There's four soil types he tells in this parable that really, if you pay attention to where it's not working and where it is working, the way it works best is it really depends on our openness. It really depends on my personal commitment. Everyone's committed to something. What are you most committed to in life? And is it the first priority? Is it getting the best of your time, your energy, and your focus? Are you willing to sacrifice for it? God's work in our life is an ongoing series of choices that we choose each and every day. And if you think about it, in this parable, Jesus says, it's really simple what I'm asking you to do. It's to do these three things, actually four. Hear God's truth, accept God's truth, and obey God's truth. That's what he wants you to do. That's the good soil. That's where it does something more than you could ask or imagine, that it does something in your life. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John 14:23 that anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It's an evidence that God is my first love, that I simply do what he says. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. That's where our relationship with Jesus flourishes, when I hear, accept, and obey. And one of the reasons I think it is because it really shows me who do I think's in charge of my life. Am I in charge or is he in charge? Because if he's in charge, I'll hear it, I'll accept it because it's coming from him, and I'll obey it because I believe he's leading me to the best possible places in life. But the thing that struck me about this parable is really there's a fourth thing that we do. We hear, we accept, we obey, and actually we share it. See, in this parable, go back to the other verse, about the farmer. Go to the next slide there. There you go. The farmer sows the word. In this parable, Jesus is the farmer, and he wants to do this in your life. You are the soil. His truth is the seeds he wants to plant in your life. The thing about Jesus, what he did was so, again, like I question the farmer's scattering strategy, but also the fact that he would entrust us to join him to doing this in the lives of others. That Jesus is the farmer, but he invites us in to join him in sharing God's truth with others, that we're part of that process. That's what he wants us to do. But Jesus does that for us. And then he wants us to do that for others. And again, I question the strategy of the farmer. I know you're not supposed to read too much into the parable, but really, he put it everywhere. Like, if you're going out to plant a garden, are you going to plant seeds on your sidewalk? No. Why would the guy even do that? He shouldn't be surprised with the result. Why would they go and go, oh, there's some thorns over there. A rose bush might be nice to go with those thorns. What? That doesn't make sense. You know what that tells me? The fact that he sowed the word everywhere is no one's without excuse. No one's without opportunity. Even if you go, I don't care, God's going to say, I'm still going to share it with you and give you the opportunity. And the thing is, every now and then, and you've seen it probably in your around your house, like we have this crack in the sidewalk and there's a blade of grass coming up. Like, wow. Actually, it's a weed. That's not going to surprise me. Like, weeds can grow anywhere. But like, wow, sometimes stuff grows in places you wouldn't expect. So if you look at someone and think, well, they're not very open to God's truth, and that keeps you from sharing it, be careful, because I think God invites us to be part of farming and what he's doing. But really what he's saying here is it's available to everybody. And think about the truth is, God's word has never been more accessible than it is today. I'm doing 2 reading plans right now, and on my phone every day I get a reminder to jump into this reading plan I'm doing with a group of guys and another small group of people. And every day I'm reading God's word, I'm reading a devotional, I'm reading God's word. I can open up the Bible, I can look up the meaning. Well, when the word, what Greek word is this word, word here? And I can look it up in Blue Letter Bible and it can tell me what the original language was. And God's word has never been more accessible. But I've never seen a season in the world where there's been more of a drought of God's truth. We got a lot of bad soil in this world. So one, I can't let my heart be one of those. I can't let the worries, the desire for other things or persecution or people, you know, being against what I believe God is calling me to do. I can't let that keep God's truth from growing in me. But I also can't be afraid to be part of what God's doing to take his truth to a world that desperately needs it. I love that the farmer, like, it might be bad soil that's not going to grow very much, but I'm going to give it a chance to grow. And I believe that's God's heart, that he calls us to scatter God's word everywhere. We were driving through town the other day, and we're about to move from one house to another. So moving is not something that's fun, but if you don't have plans Tuesday, you can. I'd love to hang out with you. We were driving, and where our current house is, the trees are all very small. And my daughter made the point, she goes, wow, the trees in our neighborhood are all very small, but over in this other part of town, the trees are a lot bigger. And I said, why do you think that is? And she said, well, maybe it's because it's by a lake over this other place. I go, yeah, maybe, but also how old are the homes there and versus how old are the homes here? I said, oh, yeah, maybe it's just been around longer. Yeah, that's probably it. And then she kind of made the comment, she goes, but there's really just not a lot of, like Dallas has more trees. It's like, yeah, that's kind of our thing in Lubbock. We got a lot of beach, no ocean, and not a lot of trees. Like, that's kind of our deal. Like, and she goes, okay. And the thing is, and actually, Jared, who's doing the slides today, I've not verified this fact, so if it's wrong, you're making me look bad, that really all trees in Lubbock got here because they were planted. They didn't just kind of naturally grow. I'm getting some heads nods, so good job. Thanks for not hanging me out to dry. Here's the thing. If you're in Lubbock, if you want to see more trees, you got to plant more seeds. That's the agricultural reality. That's true for the kingdom of God too. If you want to see more trees, we have to plant more seeds. I can't look at the world and say how I can't believe that there aren't more people following Jesus in the world. That's why Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. We can't look at the world and go, man, that world is starving for truth, and not be willing to point people to God's truth. Or especially point people to Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. our responsibility is to join Jesus in this great mission of farming. And he puts seed everywhere. Everybody has a chance. But ultimately, I'm responsible for working the soil of my life because only I can make choices and decisions for me. So I gotta make sure that it's my first priority, it's a commitment, I'm open, and it's an ongoing series of choices that I make to let Jesus work in me, and then as I join him on his mission. See, I think the takeaway, the impact on our story, and this is what we're gonna try and do throughout this series, is Jesus told these stories, and we wanna ask, how should it impact the stories of our lives? And I'll talk about this next week. God is a God of story. I used to be a chaplain for hockey players, and I gave out close to 1,000 Bibles to hockey players over a series of time, and we had this strategy, and I remember giving it to this one guy who had asked for a Bible, and I gave it to him, and I said, there's so many things up here about how to handle anxiety and fear and what God wants for you and joy and peace, and he goes, that's great. And I gave him the Bible. The next time I saw him, he came up and he said, I couldn't find any of that stuff in here. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you said I had stuff about fear. I was like, I couldn't find it. There's a bunch of stories. And I was really scared because he was, back in the day, they had these guys called enforcers on teams. Like the thing they really only did well was be a fighter, a tough guy. And that's kind of what he did. And he was just jacked. And he was already, you know, I mean, this could apply to a lot of people. He was twice as tall as me. And he was big. After he got done with hockey, he actually did some MMA fighting. And he was intimidating. And I remember him like actually putting a finger on my chest saying, this doesn't have any of that. It's just a bunch of stories. And at that moment, this is why one of the reasons I believe there's a God. Like he gave me the right thing to say because I was like, one, I want to be faithful to say what God wants to say, but I also don't want to get squished like a bug, you know? So I'm like, well, Garrett, God's a God of story. And he doesn't just give us principles because it's not a self-help book. It's this one great story that God's telling that he's the main character and he invites us into it and he comes looking for us and invites us into his family and along the way, we're gonna deal with those things. And so a lot of the stories, we see people dealing with that and there are principles in there, but yeah, it's not, I can get you a Bible promise book if that'll keep me from getting hit, you know, like, and he goes, actually, the Bible promise thing is good because I'm not mad at you, I'm just intense. I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get the dent out of my chest from when he did that. But you know, that's the truth. I think he didn't understand is God's a God of story. I don't know if we understand that some days. I just want a seed of truth that can help me through my problem. Instead, I need to get to know the farmer. God, what are you wanting to do in my life? How do I work the soil to open it up so you could work in me? And then the awesome thing that he wants to work through me. And here's the impact on our story. Get busy growing and get busy sowing. That's what he wants us to do. To let God grow us, but then to use us to help grow others and to reach others. Do you have any plans this week to do that? Is it on your priority list? Is it on your calendar? How are you gonna let God work the soil to let God work in you and through you? How are you working to connect with God's truth? You know, we always have a reading plan at Live Oak. You can find it on the app or websites through the digital bulletin. And this summer we're going through two of the Gospels. And I would encourage you, like if you're doing that, sit back and imagine like you're part of the crowd on the lake. You're one of the disciples walking along with them. Let Jesus teach you. Let him be the farmer that plants seed in your life, but then work the soil. Be open, make it a priority. Make those ongoing series of choices. How will you do that this week to seek God to grow you? And then what will you do this week to share God's word with others? I mean, there's some simple ways. Sometimes I'll just take a verse that meant a lot to what I read that morning, go in the YouVersion Bible app and share it through that via Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something like that. But that's pretty low risk. But actually going to someone and say, hey, I read something today that maybe it'd be helpful for you too, and sharing something face-to-face verbally can be a powerful thing. But God's invited us to join him in what he does in sharing his word, his truth with others. I encourage you to take that seriously, that this summer could be an unbelievable summer of growth if you would engage God's word, you'd work the soil of your heart to be open, and then join Jesus on his mission of sharing that with others. And then what we said earlier about, you know, something that helps your growth, maybe this summer, engaging with God's word and sharing with others is a way, but also serving. That, we do believe that that is very catalytic to your faith. So I want to remind you about, and if you'll put up that serving link, that if that's your next step for you, man, we'd love to find a place for you, because one, it helps the mission, but we believe our mission is to help you grow. And that's one of the ways we do that. Let's pray together. Jesus, thanks for scattering seed very loosely in this world, very freely. It doesn't seem very strategic. None of us go out and water our weeds because we don't want those to grow. But somehow you walk into the weeds, you walk into the rocky places, you walk places with thorns, and you give everybody an opportunity to hear and know your truth. Thanks for coming into the weeds and looking for me. God, thank you for those seasons where I was growing and I knew you were doing it. God, I pray you'd give us all that experience this summer, that we would grow and experience a season of growth in our lives as we connect to God, God's word, God's people, and God's mission. And you would grow something in us that's undeniably you, but it's also just not for us, that we share it with others, that our faith is contagious. Help us this week to prioritize growing and sowing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to do parables week 2. Look at another parable of Jesus. Hope you'll be here. Thanks for joining us in person or online.